There is nothing, absolutely nothing else. The central focus of everything, of who we are and why we are, is because of the cross. Amen? It's not an item that's for sale. It's nothing we can buy nor obtain through our works or anything that we can do in and of ourselves. But it is recognizing who paid the price. Amen? You know, when I was growing up, as many of you know, I've given this little detail about my life that I was, I love football. I was all about football. There was nothing else outside of life for me but football. You know, I played it in school. If there was a game going on after school, as long as I got my chores done, I would go out and I would play football. That was the crux of my life at one point in time. You know, we used to always meet up on weekends, even sometimes. We'd meet up and we'd meet up at a certain place down the street near a friend of mine's house, and we'd all meet up for a Saturday game of football. And I remember we met up one Saturday, and we all got there, and we picked up, you know, picked the teams, and was ready to play, and we kind of all looked at each other, and I didn't bring my football. Nobody else out of 10-plus guys didn't bring the football. So what happened? Absolutely nothing, because the football was the main thing. Without the football, we didn't have a football game. So the football is the main thing. In football, the football determines everything. It determines how first downs are measured relative to where the ball is placed on the field. Touchdowns are measured whether they cross a goal line. When kicking a field goal, it's determined whether or not it's good by the way that the football travels either through the uprights or not. The football matters when it comes to out of bounds, when you catch the ball relative to where your feet are and holding the ball with possession. Men fight over it when it's fumbled. The football in football is everything. And just as the football in football is everything, so is the cross everything in Christianity. Without the cross, you have no Christianity. Without the cross, you are not a believer. This whole thing that we gather for every single Sunday means absolutely nothing without the cross. See, just like we gather out there on that Saturday for a football game, just because that missing, blown-up piece of pigskin was missing, we didn't have a football game. And without the cross of Jesus Christ, we don't have life. All this is meaningless. You know, we can come together in the church and meet. That's all good. We need that. We can come together in fellowship. That's necessary. You know, we need to have devotional times, prayer meetings. Those things are critical. They're necessary. They're needed. But they're not the means to the end. Because without the cross, those things mean absolutely nothing. They mean absolutely nothing in our lives. You know, we just came out of the season of Resurrection Sunday last Sunday. You know, we celebrated something. And you know, for most people, this is the most religious time of the year. Most people only come to church twice out of the year. That is Easter and Christmas. Why? Because it's become a religious, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do to carry a cross. Many of us have this icon around our necks, some of us. Some of us have them dangling from the rearview mirrors of our car. I'm not saying that that's wrong, but that is a sanitized cross. I call that a sanitized cross. There is absolutely no worth intrinsically given to that thing but what Christ gave it 2,000 years ago. And historically, the cross has significance, but it also has significance even more today, does it not? See, we need to be a people who understand that the cross is not something that just happened 2,000 years ago. The cross is for us today. We cannot dismiss it from this thing we called serving the Lord. We can't dismiss it from this thing we called prayer meetings. We can't dismiss it from these things we called devotional times with the Lord, with going to seminars and going to breakout sessions at conferences and different things like that. If the cross is left out of these things, then all that stuff is just a bunch of noise. That's all it is. It's all a bunch of worthless noise. Because we have to see historically today what the significance of the cross is for our lives. For far too many Christians view the cross as some historical event that will make them, that will take them to heaven. A lot of people just say, you know what, that's all it's for. It's just something that assures me that I've got a ticket to heaven. Many of these people who came in the store today bought a ticket to heaven, they thought, I bet. Because they were carrying something that they thought was significant. But rather than wielding the cross as a current event in their lives, it's the very thing that they need to bring, that we need to bring heaven to earth. It's not something that happened thousands of years ago. It's something that is very critical for today, for our Christian lives today. It is absolutely necessary. You know, in Paul writing to the Galatians, Paul urged the Galatians over and over again in one form or another to remember the cross of Christ. Throughout the whole book, threaded throughout 5.5 chapters of this book called Galatians, is Paul reminding this church over and over again the importance of the cross. You know, they started out their lives, their Christian lives, in believing, and they started out in this thing called faith. And Paul kind of gets on them about, you know, just paraphrasing this, he says, you know, you started this whole Christian walk out in faith, and now you're trying to subvert that message by coming to it by works of the flesh? Who has bewitched you? Who has told these things to you? Because you cannot start something out in the Spirit and think that you can bring it to conclusion by working your way to earn God's approval, is in essence what he was saying. No, it should not be. It's the cross of Christ. You forgot that it's all about the cross. And see, and he urged the people in Galatia by saying these words. When he wrote in Galatians 6:11, he says, look, do you have the scriptures up there for me? He says in verse 11, see with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. Paul is saying, guys, you got to get this. You've got to get this. This is huge. You cannot miss this. I've written all this stuff, and I'm fixing to wrap everything up with this conclusion, with this one thing, and you got to get it. You have to understand. I've written this letter specifically so that you can understand the gravity of the situation right now. It's important, because if you can get this one thing, if you can get this one thing in your spirit, not just a mental assent to it, but if you can get this one thing into your spirit, you will understand all things concerning faith. And he says, he goes on to say in verse 14, he says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. He said, I want to know nothing more. I don't want to boast, and Paul wasn't even a great speaker. He proclaimed that. But he said, you know what? The power doesn't come in my speech. The power comes through preaching the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. The power flows through me by the Holy Spirit. It's because not of what I, because of the cross itself, but it's who made the cross significant is why I am who I am today. And there is nothing else that matters in this life but to boast in that and that alone. Because you know what? On my best day, on any one of our best days, we're simply just a sinner saved by grace. That's it. On our best day. And there is absolutely nothing that we can do to satisfy by works at all the appeasing acceptance of God. There is absolutely nothing we can do. There's no works. There is absolutely nothing. Paul recalled that this historical event that happened well before he even became a Christian, was still very significant in his life today. That was his proclamation in verse 14. He says, that's the only thing that I have in my life. That's the only thing that matters. And see, and we can complicate this Christian life, and we add so many different things to our life to think that it's necessary that I got to do this, and I got to do this. I got to pray for 5 hours a day. And, you know, we add all these different things to this Christian life, thinking that it's going to make us acceptable to God in some way, shape, or form, when that is not what makes us acceptable. What makes us acceptable is faith in Jesus Christ and the thing that he accomplished on that cross over 2,000 years ago. Amen? That is the only thing that makes us acceptable to God. There is not enough good things that you can do to make yourself righteous in God's eyes. It is simply by the cross of Christ. And Paul knew this. He kept that at the forefront of his life. And I pray every single day, God, let me see that the way that Paul seen it. Let me hold that near and dear before my very eyes and my face every single day, God. The cross, God. It's the cross. Make the cross central to your life, as Paul did. To Paul, the cross was not, again, just some decoration or some icon. It was the centrality of his very existence. And let me ask you this question this morning. Is it the centrality of your existence today? Is it where you draw your power and your strength from? Because that's where the Holy Spirit came alive in mankind. When Christ died and was resurrected to life again, there could be no resurrection life unless Christ died on the cross. There's no resurrection life for us had he not willingly went to the cross. You know one of my favorite, the most beautiful scenes in movies is? The Passion of the Christ. When they finally led him to Calvary and they throw the cross down, and I mean he is just beaten and just, I mean, marred beyond even recognition of a man. And he's laying there just bloodied and exhausted and in vile pain. And they lay that cross. The cross slams to the ground. As a picture of this cross, it slams to the ground. And Christ is laying beside it. And he gets up and he puts himself on it. And he puts himself on it. There is nothing that has ever moved my spirit more than the way that Mel Gibson in that movie portrayed that. Because he went willingly. He knew that that was the purpose of why he came. Because there is no life for us. There is no resurrection life unless there's a cross. There is no power in our lives unless there's a cross. What's our cross? What's your cross? Is it something that you've been walking into to stores to buy? Or is it seeing the reality and the life that God has offered each and every single one of us today? Thank you, Father. The cross provides a relationship and not religion. The cross provides a relationship and not religion. He says in Galatians 6:12, go to where I, those are small, Patrick, if you could go to the next slide. I think I have six, one more. He says, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ, for not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. See, there was a sect of people at the time that would follow Paul around. Every single place where he went, they were called Judaizers. Judaizers. Okay? Every time that Paul would convert, when someone would give their lives to Christ and Paul would instruct them that they have just now given their life to Christ by faith and they have been saved by grace, you would have these men who would come in and try to subvert that, and they would want to proselytize these new converts by telling them, no, you got to do something else as well. And this thing called circumcision was simply, it was the covenant, it was the Old Testament covenant, okay, of your connection by faith in the Father. We know that that covenant was given to Abraham. It was a covenant given to Abraham. But Christ on the cross abolished all those things. He abolished all those things. There was now no need for works in your life to be able to share in the pleasures and the victory in which Christ won for us on the cross. But these Judaizers came in and tried to subvert this truth. And so many people in the church today even continue to try to work their way. They try to add things on to the cross in order to appease the Father, thinking that he is we have this perverted view of God, that he is this old man who sits up in heaven who's ready to strike us dead every single time we do something wrong. Now, God is not pleased with sin, I'll promise you that. And there is judgment for sin and iniquity. But he is not that kind of Father. He is a Father that loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. because of the cross of Jesus Christ. There is nothing else. We cannot add not one iota to that truth to make us righteous in God's eyes. It is simply faith in Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed for you and I on that cross over 2,000 years ago. But again, it's not just something that's to be set off to the side because it happened so many years ago. It is still relevant today in our lives. Paul knew that. He said all these people trying to work their way into heaven, all they simply want to do is they want to just avoid having to live a life of holiness. See, that's simply people that have to work to satisfy God. They are simply avoiding the righteousness that Christ robed us in at the cross, and then the commands in which he commands us throughout the Word of God. Be holy, for I am holy. See, when you're working your way to heaven, you don't have to worry about that, because then you make excuses to justify yourself. Well, I haven't prayed enough this week. Maybe I need to come to church more and sit. You know, it's always about works. It's always about more and more. And the problem with more and more is, guess what? The list never ends. There's no end to the list. It keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. And that's the problem with the law today. You know, when I was in Jerusalem, and I see all the rabbis that are rolling around. I mean, every rabbi has a different teaching, and some have stacks of rules this big. Others have stacks of rules that'll go higher than the ceiling out here. Why? Because, again, it is about working our way to God. That's the distorted view that they have, because the veil is still there. And God help them. We pray that God will remove that veil from their eyes and that they will see that the Messiah has come. Yeshua the Messiah has come for them, for all of us. And he paid the price. He paid the price for our sins. You know, in school, and many of my first-year guys can probably attest to this, you know, I have you guys write papers. You guys, anybody's ever written papers for school before? You know, I've done that before, written many papers. Some of my guys have written papers. I've had several papers turned in, and it's sad that sometimes I have to put a big old fat red zero on it and hand it back to them. Yeah, I've had to do that. Now, I know most of these guys believe in the Ten Commandments, but commandment number 6, thou shalt not kill, at that time when I hand them that zero back, they kind of want God to take that one back for a while. Because this paper that I asked them to write is pretty substantial. I mean, there's 5 pages in research and all these different things, and these men would turn in a paper, and I would say, you know what, man, great work, great research, but wrong assignment. This is not the assignment. It's not that you didn't put your effort into it. It's not that there wasn't a lot of good stuff in there, but it was the wrong assignment. And the same thing holds true in Christianity. We can add a lot of good stuff. We can come to church. We can pray. We can do all these things. But if we are not focused on the assignment, if we're not focused on the main thing, the cross, amen. It means absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing. You will not share in the benefits at all in what Christ wants for our lives if we're not focused on the main thing. It's just all a bunch of religious chatter about going around and just doing anything that I can to look good. Jesus talked about these kind of people. They were called Pharisees. Walking sepulchers, walking graves. Look good on the outside, whitewashed walls. Well, we can't look bad in front of anybody. I got to look religious. I got to look spiritual. Yeah, I was at that prayer meeting. I was in church Sunday. But what does your life look like when nobody else is looking? See, that dictates whether or not you know that Christ and the cross has any meaning or has any substance in your life. Is it at the forefront of your life at all times? See, don't let religion replace the cross. See, legalism, let me give you a definition. Legalism measures your spirituality by activity. You must always do more. That's legalism. You must always do more. You must always do more of this. You must always do more of that. It's heaping law upon law upon law on someone to get them to conform to a system of behaviors. That is, we have freedom in Christ. Okay, and this is not an excuse or a license to say, well, I can go do anything that I want. No, 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 no. See, Paul had to address that issue. in Romans, where he said, you know, shall we continue to sin so that grace may abound? Of course not. That's the most ridiculous thing that you can do, to think that you can have to sin more so that you can get more grace. That's absurd. That is a perversion of God's word. And many people think that, oh, God will forgive me. He'll forgive me. But see, when you live that type of lifestyle, guess what? The cross is not the crux of your life. It is not at the forefront of your life. We cannot, the law has never done anything to truly change and transform the man. The law was simply given, as the word says, what? To bring us to the knowledge of sin. It was our schoolmaster. That was the only purpose for the law. It was to teach us that there was a standard that was far above us. You ask any man, are you a good person? Well, of course I'm a good person. I'm a great person. Well, let me ask you a few questions to see if that's true. Mike, you ever told a lie before? Of course you have, right? Just like the rest of us, you're a liar. Right? You ever stolen anything? Doesn't matter how, you know, the value of it at all. Oh, well, how many times do you got to steal something to be called a thief? Is it 10 times, ding, 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 a bell goes off? Of course not. One time. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't belong to you. So, I mean, every man will proclaim his own righteousness, the word says. But there are none good, none. And I love that Jesus had to restructure the rich young ruler's idea of what the word and the meaning of good actually meant. Because this young boy ran into him, good master, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Well, hang on a second, man. Before we address that issue, let me address this one first. Why do you call me good? There are none good but the Father. See, there is a standard. There's a standard that goes well beyond who we are. That standard started at the cross. It started the day when Christ began his earthly ministry here to show us the Father. Jesus said what? That if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. If you have seen me, everything that you see in my life is a replica of who the Heavenly Father is. Everything that I say, everything that I do, every move that I make, every prayer that I pray, every person that I heal, everything that I do resembles one person and one person alone, and that's the Father. We cannot continue to go through this Christian life thinking that we can satisfy anything or become anything in this Christian life by satisfying a bunch of rules and regulations. That's not what it is, because it's a spiritual law now. When we become believers in Christ, he puts his spirit within us, and guess what? We don't even want to gravitate to that garbage anymore. Amen? It's the cross. Because the cross, when I got saved, why did I get saved? Because a man preached the cross of Jesus Christ. He told me that, you know what? Every bad thing that you've ever done was nailed to that piece of wood over 2,000 years ago. But it's the very thing today that will set you free. It's not something that happened thousands of years ago. It is still alive and well today in our lives. And there is absolutely no power in anything else but in the cross of Jesus Christ. There is nothing. Paul knew this. The problem is that, again, you never know when these lists end. The message of the book of Galatians is this, you guys. Freedom in Christ. Not freedom to do whatever you want to do, though. Okay? We can't. See, that's a perversion. That's an idol. That's when I witness to people sometimes and they say, you know what, my God don't judge me like that. Well, sure he doesn't, because your God don't exist. He's a figment of your imagination. You have created him, therefore you're right. He would not judge you like that, because the God that you're talking about doesn't exist. But it's freedom in Christ, knowing the truth of who has delivered the message of righteousness to us. Who has delivered the message of righteousness to us? Again, the Judaizers tried to subvert this message of the cross by pressuring new Christians to conform to external religious observances, which were symbolized by chiefly the main one, circumcision. Paul says those things don't avail anything. In fact, the more religious you become, the further away from Christ you become. The more religious you are, the further away from Christ you become. And that's what was taking place. And Paul was like, you can't do this, guys. This is not how I instructed you once you came to the faith. You know, there is still instruction that still needs to take place in our lives.
That's discipleship. That's what discipleship is. But we need to focus on one thing and one thing alone, you guys. And that is our relationship to Christ. Bear with me, you guys. We're going to go a little bit over today. We need the Word, amen? We need the Word, amen? There's nothing, you know, all this other stuff that we did today is great. It's needed, and I'm not putting it down at all, okay? But this is critical. This is the most important thing, amen? There is nothing more important than God's Word. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. You know, there's two types of religion in the world. There's only two types of religion. You might say, well, there's all kind of religion. No, there's only two types of religion in the world. There is the religion of human achievement, and there is the religion of divine accomplishment. That's it. It's the only two religions. Human achievement is what? I've got to work. Every religion in the world can be tied to that one statement that I just made, a human achievement. Every other religion in this world is tied to that statement. Hinduism, Buddhism, New Age movement, whatever it is, Muslims, whatever, you have to work your way to please God. In every one of those religions, the only religion that's tied to the last statement, divine accomplishment, is Christ on the cross. Because he uttered the words, what? It is finished. The law is gone. I came to fulfill the law, that I would write a spiritual law on every man's heart. That was it. He finished it all. For the purpose of what? That we could have victory in our lives, that we don't have to be submitted to the powers of the enemy any longer, depressed, living on medications, drug addicted, sucking down alcohol, fornication, sex outside of marriage, trying to fulfill our lustly desires by putting men and women in our lives outside of the marriage bed of God. All these things do nothing to satisfy. Nothing at all. There is no amount of works of the law that can satisfy you, nor God. You'll just wear yourself out, man, working constantly, right, Tim? Working, man. I gotta go to this prayer meeting now. Now I gotta make sure I help this person, you know. Again, all those things are necessary, but they mean nothing if the cross is gone. Christ accomplished it all. His divine accomplishment did it all at the cross. Whenever religious activity trumps a relationship with God, the power of Jesus is no longer experienced in a believer's life. Let me read that again. Whenever religious activity trumps relationship, there is no power in you and I's lives. None at all. None at all. Religion is anything you do for God that does not stem out of a heart connected to God. Again, the more religious you become, the further away from Christ you become. The further away from Christ you become. Never, ever, ever be defined by what you do, but be defined by who you know. Never be defined by what you do. See, I mean, that's how you go to any gathering and, you know, men, you know, hey, what do you do for a living, man? You know, that's the first question that comes out of a guy's mouth when you meet somebody, you know, new. Hey, man, what's your name, bro? William, man. Hey, what do you do for a living, William? Yeah. Okay. Servant of the Lord. Praise God. You don't hear that, though. It's always, yeah, I'm the executive vice president for IBM. I have created several different products, and I make $100 million every 2 minutes, and, you know, I own stock in 50,000 companies, and I've created, you know, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. This is who I am. Our identity is found in what? In what we do. See, and I used to, man, I mean, and I've seen that's been the defeat of so many men's lives. So many men have fallen because they have tried to find their identity in something other than the true one that we're to identify with. We're to be dead to ourselves. Dead to ourselves. And we're to serve God out of love rather than duty at all times. because what we do does not define us. It should never define us. God wants your morality, your prayer life, your dedication for Him, and all else to be predicated on His, on the relationship that you have, instead of just running around doing a bunch of religious stuff.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I'm going to have to kind of move through this quick here. No, we're about out of time. You know, the world is trying to define us, tries to define us every day. If you got kids, you know, my kids, you know, the you know, kids will always give you a line. If you know, if you see or hear something come out of their mouth that would give you an idea that the world is shaping their lives, they'll give you a line, they'll say something, and parents, listen to this, okay? They'll always say, you know, when you don't want them to do something, they'll always give you this line. But my friends are doing it. But my friends are doing it. Well, your friends don't live in this house. Okay? You belong to this world, okay? The Abney world, okay? You don't belong to the such and such world over there, okay? If that's the life you want, well, pack your stuff up and go, you know? Now, I wouldn't tell my kids that, but I mean, back in the day, that's how it went down, okay? I know we don't do that no more. You know, we got to be politically correct to our children these days, which is just horrifying, man. You know, we used to get the truth spoken to us. Oh, that's what you pack your bags in, you know? Moms didn't play that game, you know? I mean, if that's what you want, well, then get on down the line then. Kick rocks, boy. You know, that's you know, and that truth doesn't get spoken anymore. But watch that, parents, because you know that the world is trying to conform your children when you start hearing stuff like that. And that's the mission of this world. When we talk about the world, we're talking about, you know, when Paul talks about being not conformed to this world, he's not talking about a literal place. He's talking about an organized systems of philosophies and organizations and different things. When I say like the world of sports, okay, I'm not talking about a literal place. I'm talking about a culmination of different games that are played that are all lumped together as the world of sports. When we talk about the world of politics, we're not talking about a literal place, but we're talking about a system of government and laws and different things that are enacted in order to run a country or what have you, okay? When we talk about the world, we talk about an organized system of philosophies that are what? That are governed by the evil forces of darkness that rule this place. And they are trying to subvert the truth of God's word, and they're trying to get into our children, they're trying to get into us, and he's using every means possible to try to kill us and to try to conform us to his image, to the image of this world. And Paul says, don't do this. Do not do this. Do not be conformed to the image of this world. He said that in doing this, he says, I die daily. In 1 Corinthians 5:31, he says, I affirm, you don't have to go there. He says, but I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus. He says, I die daily to this world in essence. It does not make who I am. I don't conform myself to the world, but I conform myself to the image of the cross of Jesus Christ and everything that it symbolizes in my life. I am dead to the world, and it is dead to me. Galatians 6:15, you would go to that slide for me. It says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to it. In other words, it had no effect on him any longer. It did not shape who he was. There was absolutely nothing that the world had left in him. And it's the cross that we find our identity today. We have to find our identity in the cross. There is absolutely nothing else. There is absolutely nothing else. You know, I'll tell you something about this world. And I'm going to close here in just a second, you guys. Bear with me. I'm going to land this plane in just a minute, all right? Tell you something about the world. You know, a few years back, I was a certified diver. Now, anybody gone swimming before? Put your head underneath the water? Don't stay there too long. Right? Don't stay there too long. Why? Because you're going to die. Why? Because that's not your world. See, them fishes down there, that's their world. That's their reality. That's not your world. And see, and you stick your head down in that water and you stop breathing. Well, there ain't nothing those fish can do. Them fish don't care about you. They don't care about you. but stop breathing and die, then they're going to care about you because they're going to eat a brother then. Okay? But in order to make it in that world, you have to bring your world with you. You have to wear an air tank. See, you have to bring the air from your world into that world to survive. See, and even the crazier thing is this, is the deeper you go, okay, the harder it is to survive. Why? Because the pressure will crush you. It will literally turn your insides outward. So what do divers do? They get in a little capsule, right? They want to go deep. They get in a capsule. And that capsule, what? It provides pressure on the inside, enough pressure on the inside, so that the outside doesn't crush in. See, understand this. The deeper you go into corporate America, the deeper you go into the entertainment world, the deeper you go into the sports world, you better have the inside, right? So the pressure of that world won't kill you. You've got to take your world into that world because that world is not our world. This world that we live in is not our world. It's what's inside of you that's going to sustain you. What is inside of you? Is it the cross of Jesus Christ? Because that's the only thing that's going to help you survive out there in that world. Just like a scuba diver has to take that tank into that world, so too do you have to take your cross into this world to survive. Because the pressure will kill you. I've seen many a man fall as a result of not taking heed to the priceless beauty and love of the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross provides a place of peace and mercy. Galatians 6:16 says this, "Peace and mercy be upon all who walk by this rule, who allow this thing to discipline them." Peace and mercy is given to every single person. That is a promise. That if you walk according to this rule, this very thing that I'm telling you about, okay? Make it a part of your life. Become identified with the cross. Galatians 2:20 says what? "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And this life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith. I live by faith. I live by faith in the Son of God. In the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me." There's nothing else. Everything else is ancillary. Everything else is extra. Everything else, we just stack. Is it necessary? Yes. Gathering in this fellowship is necessary. Critical. It is. Singing hymns and songs and the spiritual song like my son busted out with today because he was led of the Spirit. Those things are necessary. But what is central is the cross. Because without all that, it's just all noise. There's a story of a boy who was lost. I'm going to end with this illustration. A boy was lost and didn't know where he was at. And police officer saw this boy just wandering aimlessly around. I've done that before, actually. Left my house at 5 a.m. in the morning just to go play one morning. Cops had to bring me home. But this boy was lost. He was lost, didn't know where he was at. Officer went up to him and said, "Young man, everything okay?" He said, "No. Officer, I'm lost. I don't know where I'm at." Officer said, "Well, son, is there anything that you can tell me, maybe a landmark, or is there something that you remember that is near where you live?" And the light came on. The boy said, "Oh, yes, yes." He said, "Officer, there's a big cross, a big building with a cross by my house." The police officer said, "Oh, yeah, I know exactly where you live." In that community was the local church was there. So he took the young boy by the hand and sure enough, they went to the building where the cross was at. And the boy found his way home. See, when he used the cross as his reference point, he was able to find his way home. When that young boy used the cross as his reference point, he was able to get back home. See, maybe many of you are sitting in this service this morning disillusioned, beaten down, oppressed, don't know which way is up. Maybe you've been struggling with some different things. But Christ is saying, find the cross and come on home. Because there's power and there's victory. There's life at the cross of Jesus Christ. It's found in no other thing. If you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today you can come to this thing called the cross. It's the cross that beckons each and every single one of us. Why? Because it was the highest form of love that has ever been displayed to all of mankind. There is no greater love that was ever given to us than the day that the Savior came to save us. If you don't know which way to go, come to the cross. Come to the cross. If you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ today, we've got individuals that will pray with you. I'm going to ask the prayer team if they would come up and just be ready. If anyone needs to be led in prayer this morning, needs to be encouraged this morning. If you just need, there's healing at the cross. Amen? There is healing at the cross today. If you've been praying for someone who's lost, who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe you got some kids who've been disillusioned and been infected by this world and who's allowed it to dictate and to identify themselves with all the gravity of the ugliness of what takes place in this world. If that's someone in your family today, they need prayer today. You're the only hope that they have, maybe. You got to pray. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. The fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. They need your prayers this morning. But it's only found at the cross of Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters. So, Father, this morning, God, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word, God. God, we thank you for the revelation and the promise, God, of who you are, Father, in our lives, God. We thank you that you've given us life at the cross, Lord God. That there is absolutely nothing else, God, that matters, Lord, but the sacrificial death and the price in which you paid for each and every single one of us, God, when you gave your life for us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. You said, God, that you did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through you might be saved, God. I pray tonight, this morning, God, that if there's anybody in this place that does not know you, Father, that today that they would make the commitment, Lord, in their heart, Lord, and say, yes, God. Yes, God. Lord, I don't know what it means. I don't know what it looks like. But, Lord, I just want to say yes to you today, God. I'm tired of being disillusioned, God. I'm tired of being beat down, Lord. I'm tired of the oppression. I'm tired of the drug addiction, the alcoholism. I'm tired of putting things in my life that don't fulfill me, God. Lord, we know, Christ, that you are the only one who fulfills, Lord. And I pray that you would move on the hearts of your people today, God. That if there is anyone here today, God, who feels like that, Lord, let them know today by the power of your Spirit, Lord, that they can come up here, Lord, and say, I make a declaration in my life today to follow Christ. I don't know what it looks like, but God, I want to say today, Lord, you come and be the Lord and Savior of my life, God. Lord, we thank you today, God. We thank you for all your precious promises, God. Most of all, God, we thank you that you did not leave us orphaned, Lord, but you gave us the Holy Spirit. That today, by the life in Christ, the resurrection life in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that today, God, today, Lord, we can have life and life in you, Father. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come to the cross this morning, amen. Come to the cross this morning. He bids you come. He bids us all to come. Jesus. Yes, exactly. The word that came forth this morning. Let me reiterate this. The word that came forth this morning was, do not leave this place today without knowing Christ. Do not leave this place. I beg you. I plead with you. Do not leave this place without knowing Christ. Amen.
Draw me gently to my knees. than I am, lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered.
At the beginning of this year, I preached on reaching the lost. The plight of the lost is an eternity separated from God in a place called hell that he did not want, God did not want to send anyone there. A person goes there by rejecting Jesus. They go there by compromising and saying, I can do it myself. I can do it through self-achievement. If you're here this morning and you know you're not ready for heaven, you need to be running to this altar today. Salvation involves true repentance. Being sorry for your sins. Not sorry you got caught, but having a godly sorrow that works repentance. The sign out front says hope, but there is no hope in hell. Our only hope is through salvation in Jesus Christ. And if you're truly saved, you will want to live for him. No longer for yourself, but for the one who died and rose again. Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Gave my life to Christ today, and I accepted him in my heart. I'm saved.
Amen. Adam's going to need our prayers, and he's going to need our support. He's going to need us to speak into his life right here at this fellowship. Amen. He's going to need all of us to help him and disciple him and pray for him. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. You get baptized. Hallelujah. The Lord says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. And that's what you did today. Amen. You confessed the Lord before men today. And God heard that. He sees your heart, brother. Bless you, Adam. We love you, man.
What a word. Amen. Amen. We say send the fire. Fire purifies. Amen. Why don't you stand with me, please? As we announced earlier, if you had planned to stay for the church meeting, membership meeting, we'll be meeting shortly. If you had meant to fill out an application and didn't, and you qualify for that, we do have some others as well. It's not too late. We want to bless you as you go this morning. Stretch your hand this way, and let's just dismiss in a benediction. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Oye Israel, Jehová nuestro Dios, Jehová uno es, y amarás a Jehová tu Dios de todo tu corazón y de toda tu alma y con todas tus fuerzas. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Shalom. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. Now the Lord bless you as you go and go and take this relationship with Jesus, this power that we have today with him. Take it to the world around you. Some places have a sign that says, you're now entering the mission field. Go and find a need and meet it and find a hurt and heal it. Go and be a blessing. Go and tell people the reason for the hope that's within you. God bless you. Come back Wednesday night. Part time of prayer and activities, fellowship, dinner of hope at 6. Bless you.